Here we go again with another helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. This is Tuesday night. It's been absolutely hammering down today as well. I haven't got my long drawn out intro either today. Has it been raining there, Chris?
Pissing it down. Absolutely. And then trounced it down. Just as I was cycling to work as well this morning. You know, because it was sunny yesterday, I woke up in the window and I thought, fuck.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't mind cycling in rain. Wind's the worst. I hate being out in the wind.
Why does it blow those three strands around on your head?
Because I always have a hat on.
Is it because your nostrils, they sort of blow you back? Because wind reduction.
You got that in early, didn't you?
I did, because you got me on Friday night with Andy. After 45 minutes or something like that. Officially longest no nostril gag podcast we've ever done.
I thought I'd just throw it in.
Yeah. It's the first one you've done and all.
I know, because I'm not as childish as you. I don't really like to talk about things like that.
Right. You're not childish.
So I forgot to tell you this, actually. I had some mates down last week and went for a few beers in Grantchester. So it was me and my two mates and their wives. And what?
Somebody said, every episode Chris mentions he lives in Cambridge.
Why?
Put a comment on, I don't know, I don't think you do, but yeah. Although you said Grantchester there. Halifax and Huddersfield a lot, so.
Well, I probably do, because some people think we live in the same town and we do this in the same room.
No, I think we're doing it in the same room now.
I know.
And we're not.
What's my reasoning for mentioning Cambridge, though?
Nothing. I don't know why they even put the comment. I just saw the comment saying, every episode Chris mentions he lives in Cambridge.
All like I'm trying to show off about living in Cambridge.
No, I don't know what the context of that was. That was all the put. I don't think...
I
don't think they were being derogatory about it or anything like that. Listen out for it. But I suppose the thing is, everybody, if you had a conversation with somebody for 2 years, you'd pick up a nuance that said, every time they speak, they do this, or the left eye goes...
I didn't notice that I said, I'm not a violent person, but someone told me that I said that. I didn't even notice I'd said it more than once.
Yeah, no, you do say that quite a bit.
Yeah, because I'm not really a fighty person, that's why. And keep unfortunately, saying that. What we do sometimes makes my blood boil.
Anyway, you were saying Grantchester.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't even tell you this story. So we were in, I just thought it was interesting. We're in Grantchester, sat in the beer garden a couple of weeks ago, and it was really hot. And, you know, if you work in a bar, I've worked in bars and stuff my whole life, and you go in somewhere, you know, and you want to move a table to put your mates together. You obviously ask. And this bunch of, like, student-looking characters turned up. And they just started moving all the tables. I mean, fair enough. I just spotted that, and I'm thinking, it's a bit rude, you know what I mean? You'd ask someone before you start moving tables around. And they were a very odd group of people, you know. And often you get these groups of students that are kind of mix-matched and a bit odd. Do you know what I mean? And bearing in mind, one of my mate Butler's wife went to Cambridge. So I'm not being, like, blooming, you know, anti Cambridge University kind of thing. But put it like this, right? One of them had a suit jacket balanced on his shoulders, like Don Corleone.
There is a style, though, that's called a certain style.
Right. Anyway, baffled by this group of people.
Did he have a jumper over his neck as well?
A suit jacket like Don Corleone.
Right.
And I said, we were just commenting on, you know, what a strange gathering of people. Mm. And my mate's missy said something interesting. She says, trouble is in Cambridge, right? All the blokes, they all think they're Oscar Wilde. But it's that, I don't know, they give off this feeling of entitlement, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think James Dellimpole's talked about that.
Yeah, he talked about that. Yeah.
He's talked about, I know that were Oxford, but Cambridge, Oxford, Oxbridge, and hence why they call it Oxbridge, it's the same thing. Yeah. Hence why spies are trained there. Yeah,
belly of the beast, isn't it?
Yeah,
literally. You know.
Hence why. I was looking at something the other day. Something I was researching that we're going to. If you're listening to this, by the way, we'll be at this point probably at the second live event we're doing. Probably be the last one we do for a while. Actually, a bit busy at the minute. I think I mentioned that before, so it might be the last one for this year. Who knows? After the summer, anyway. I told my wife that earlier on, and she went. She just flicked her eyelids and thought, "Yeah, right."
But the other day, you said, "See if there's anywhere any venues in Cambridge."
Yeah, no, but that was for next year.
I live in Cambridge.
Yeah, I didn't know that, Chris. Nor did I know you don't normally get angry. But yeah, I was doing some research on, anyway, the Dragon Prep School came up in Oxford. And I looked at the list of people that went there, and it was phenomenal. I'm sure, and I know that list is minuscule in comparison to how many people went there. So there's three different types of prep school. I think you go from 3 to 7, 7 to 12, and then the next. And then you go to then 12 to 16, and then it's Oxford.
So it's a lineup for Oxford, basically.
Yeah. And or Eton or somewhere like that.
Like the Boris Johnson one, right?
Exactly like Boris Johnson one. But they're there boarding from like 7 year old, 6 7 year old. Anyway, but the list of people that went on reminded me of that list. Can you remember that intelligence agency? I think they're called the CIC, the Central Intelligence, I forget what it was, committee, or it wasn't committee, but it was something like that. It was an American, it was a spin-off from the CIA. It was part of the CIA, but it was part of the OSS in the Second World War. And Miles Copeland were a member of it. And the list of people like that was the same type of people that were on that list of the Dragon Prep School who went there. Old Dragons, I think they're called. Old Dragonians or something like that. Anyway, you know, like journalists, but then major stars as well, like Benedict Cumberbatch or people like that. These people went there. So if you were going to recruit somebody and then swap them over into, like, I'll call it the CIC, but it's not the CIC anymore, like a journalist that won a Pulitzer Prize, you know? So that is their prize, isn't it? Right, you go to school, you become a journalist, we recruit you, Anderson Cooper, into this, and you become this major news star. you've got everything else. Your family's billionaires. You don't need any money. All you want to be is a star.
Yeah.
And work for the belly of the beast.
Like I said before, it's like their system's just a different system to what we have with our, you know, daily grind. If you like.
And I know not everybody who goes to the Dragon Prep School or any school like that, most of the people are nice people and possibly think they're doing, like all the doctors in 2020, a lot of them didn't think they were going to poison people, I don't believe.
No, they didn't. They thought it was a way out. They thought it was the answer. Yes. Yeah. And they're more indoctrinated than me or you into the medical system, aren't they? They're fully indoctrinated because they've spent seven or eight or whatever years training. It'd take a lot to go against that system.
It would. And all, I mean, like a lawyer, if you ask most lawyers, I had a mate who became a barrister who got trained himself. This was after, you know, like he'd left school and stuff like that, decided to be a barrister. He was a bit cleverer than me. And he went to some sort of open university, became a barrister. And he went into it thinking he was going to help people, you know, with their lives type of thing. If you ask policemen, they think that as well.
Yeah.
So doctors won't be any different. And most MPs probably get into it the same way. But then they higher up the echelon, like a pop star, they end up signing a contract. They don't know it's a contract, but it is a contract.
Well, also as well, the longer you've spent training and paying out and getting into debt for that training, you're not going to want to get kicked out, are you?
No. You don't want to get kicked out.
You're here forever.
They know that status and social stigma keep people doing banging pots and pans on the doorstep for 6 months or whatever it was. Because they don't want to be the odd one out. Just like your neighbour said, they're not banging pots and pans next door, right? They don't want to be that person that ain't banging pots and pans. And they will go along with it until they go, oh shit, what we done? And then it's too late. It's cover-up time. Yeah, it's cover-up time then. But it was interesting to see the list of TV presenters, military people, you know, all these people that are in the CIC and the Dragon, they weren't the same people, but what I'm trying to say is there were same type of jobs, same type of roles. So them guys that were in that bar that just came in, swanned in, took over, I mean, they're young people as well, so you are a little bit more arrogant, a bit more volatile and a bit more irrational and stuff like that, came in with his jacket over his shoulders.
I'm not saying they were all wrong with them. It was just interesting. But I remember when I first came here and they refused to have some of the...
Maybe he saw the future bumping into me and I broke his arms.
When I first got here, they had I was first fresh. I'd never been here before, and I was working in a restaurant. And the freshers wanted to do their functions there. And
everyone the what, sorry?
Freshers, you know, and they've just got here to college.
Right, that just shows how bright I am, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know.
I thought there were sweets in refreshers.
And they have these where they all get together to meet each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're not all like this, but these ones that were wanting to do it were the privileged, I'm guessing now. Thinking
Bullingdon Club, like the Bullingdon Club.
Yeah. But they were saying we can't have these parts. So some of the locals to get here were saying we shouldn't have these in here because they're horrible. But and I'm thinking I think that's a bit of... inverted
snobbery. Yeah.
But then they had one with them there, and they were fucking horrible.
Right.
Awful. Rude. Honestly, they were disgusting. I think they were doing really, they're doing some weird stuff upstairs as well. They were only like 18. They were a bit drunk, and they were just rude to all the staff. And they were doing like some weird kissing competition, something horrible. It was just bizarre. And they never had them again. They only had them once.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let them do it again. Smash stuff. They were just awful. Really awful.
That is what the Bullingdon Club did. I'm not saying that was the Bullingdon Club because that's in that's in Oxford.
Well, also they've heard of that if it's not that, and they're aspiring to it, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it was they're the eating clubs, aren't they? That's what they were. The eating clubs, and basically they smashed the place up after. Then threw them 10 grand or something to rebuild it. Yeah.
Through cash in. Well, you've got that old story of Cameron, haven't you? Having sex with that pig's head.
Yeah.
That's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then he married her.
I don't like that kind of, I'm not saying humour, or mentality, behaviour. Mm. Yeah. It's a bit rugby player mentality, isn't it? I'm not knocking rugby players, but...
Maybe with a goat. it's never been my sort of humour. That
raucous...
Well, I'm not a drinker, so I think No, but you're not that raucous. You're an arty-farty drinker, aren't you? You'll have a drink and wander around a fucking cathedral or something.
Arty-farty drinker.
No, that doesn't mean say you can't drink a lot. My money's on you. I'll back you anywhere with anybody, but maybe not now. You're probably lightweight.
No, I'm a lightweight man after my trip to Croatia.
But,
carried up some stairs.
Yeah, I just dragged you up by your nostrils.
I were always last man standing. No, not these days.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I can't remember now. No. But yeah, we'll be doing the live show. I mean, we did the live one on Rise Above. Quite enjoyed that. I like the different feedback you get from that same presentation we did 3-4 weeks ago at Pennine Manor. Because something came out of that. A few things came out of that one we did on Friday night. With Lance and Andy, was that unknowingly I stumbled across about 7 people in famous people who were all related in some way to an assassin.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. That's an odd one, is that? It started going back with Tony Blair's wife, didn't it? Tony Blair's wife, Sherry Blair, Booth, her dad, or Tony Booth, I think he were called, who were in Sickness and Health, or Alf Garnett, or whatever it was. And he were related to John Wilkes Booth.
I'm going to say there's some weird link with Bush and the guy who shot Reagan as well, isn't there?
Some weird link with that as well, isn't there? I mean, Kevin Bacon's related to him, and his wife. Both of them are related to John Hinckley Jr.
Yeah, there's some other strange stuff around him.
Yeah.
We were talking about that today. It got me thinking about that film. Shall I bring it up?
You can do, yeah.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yeah.
Because it also links into that story that Mark brought up with that woman about...
Yeah, Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen.
She was called Anne Diamond, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
Not the Anne Diamond off Good Morning Television.
I sent you the lyrics to that song because after I'd heard that, when Mark did that interview with that woman, saying that basically Leonard Cohen were an assassin.
Yeah.
It sounds fantastical, doesn't it? But by coincidence, right, I've got a guy I work with, a Polish fella, a bit older than me, and he looks like Leonard Cohen, right? And he's also, he walks around all the time going, oh, hallelujah. And I said, you know, you look like Leonard Cohen. And he's like, oh, I suppose I do a bit. And I said, and you're always saying hallelujah. Anyway, he went, I love Leonard Cohen. And he had an album and he started playing it.
Maybe it is Leonard Cohen. Maybe he's doing another job.
But one of them that stuck out to me on this album we listened to was called My Secret Life. And I sent you the lyrics to it. And if you read the lyrics, I mean, I can't remember now off the top of my head, but it's going on about my secret life, this man. It's not like a love song or anything. If My Secret Life was sitting very, and it, you know, when you put them two together, it does get a bit weird, doesn't it?
But I mean, I know we're going out here, going out on one, but if you think about these people that I was thinking today, if you imagine, say, Whitney Houston, right, who'd been knocked off, or I don't know, that actor that got knocked off as well, the white hair, forget what he was called now. And the, yeah, anyway, there's loads of them being dead in the bathtub and stuff like that. What happens if it's like a famous star that's doing it? Because they're the ones that let me, hey, who's that, Whitney? Hey, it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh, you're taking a bath.
Glug, 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 glug. Didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that coming, did you? Yeah, didn't see that coming. Well, I mean, did you?
I mentioned before, Houdini were famously a secret agent, and they used actors and traveling actors and performers because they could go around the world, send the secrets around. I don't know about murder, but it could pass. It makes sense, then it could pass government secrets around.
Well, again, if it was John Wilkes Booth. Who shot Abraham Lincoln, they were a family of actors.
You were an actor, yeah.
They were quite famous in the time. They were Southern actors, weren't they? Mm. So, and then, is it that mad now, that story?
Would anything really... I mean, and also, you know, if you start going, Tom Hanks is actually an assassin. You're like,
there was a rumour about that, wasn't there? Lance were on about.
Was there?
Yeah, there was a stupid rumour. Well, I'm saying stupid. Is it stupid?
They can travel. They travel all over the world.
Yeah, he did play an assassin though, didn't he? In Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition, good film. That it's probably
very good.
Best one I've seen him.
Yeah, I think it was his best one as well. In my opinion.
Not that I'm up on Top Hanks films these days, but made me think of that. I mentioned to you that Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Mm. George Clooney's first film he directed. Screenplay by Charlie Kaufman, but it's based on a novel written by a biography written by Chuck Barris in the late 90s. And I remember seeing this film. I don't remember thinking that much of it, to be fair. And now looking at it, I think it might be all right, but I watched it when it came out, 2002 it came out. And Chuck Barris, he was the guy who presented The Gong Show America and numerous other stuff. But he wrote a book. I just had a quick look on Wikipedia. He wrote this book about his fictional life. But he said that he was a secret agent. He was an assassin for CIA.
Right.
After his book came out, CIA said that wasn't true. But it's quite funny when you read that this film eventually got made in 2002, but they've been trying to make it since the 80s. And the directors involved in trying to bring it to the screen, like David Fincher, Brian De Palma, Bryan Singer, Mike Myers was attached to it, Ben Stiller, Johnny Depp, all these so interested in bringing this, apparently, well, he said it was a real, but then weirdly as well, who is it? When Clooney got hold of it, Charlie Kaufman had written a script for it. He got the guy, that Chuck Barris, to come in and help make the film.
Right.
So apparently it wasn't true. But
apparently
the guy who wrote the not true story about it to come in and help make the film, and they made it into a bit of a slapstick. It was a bit of a comedy, if I remember.
That's how they get away with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But George Clooney's he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
I know, and his first film is about a secret agent, TV star, assassin. And Clooney's from a family of actors, isn't he? And presenters or whatever.
I mean, it don't matter now. We're talking about this because the people will be at the live event while we're doing this presentation. But
we're going to do that.
He's special envoy on media freedom. He was appointed. Oh no, his wife was appointed special envoy on media freedom by the Foreign Office, British Foreign Office.
What's his wife called?
Amel Clooney. Yeah, she's part of the Alam Al Din dynasty. in Lebanon. It's Lebanese. Sorry, Lebanese. Yeah, but George Clooney, you know. I'll be doing a full presentation on George Clooney at that as we're speaking. But
Well, I only
the
just Clooney, brought...
The Clooney family, right? Listen to this, the Clooney family. While we're on it, Chris, you brought it up, but while we're on it. So his father was Nicholas Joseph Clooney, a journalist, anchorman, and television host. Mm-hmm. His aunts, Rose Clooney, American singer, actress, Betty Clooney, singer, TV presenter. Cousins, Miguel Jose Ferrer. You remember him, Bob Martin in RoboCop, in first RoboCop.
Yeah.
He always looks like, he always looks angry when he's, he, I yeah. liked him, me.
Yeah, was he the guy doing loads of drugs and that? He was the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's good in that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
How long ago, that guy?
No, he died recently, didn't he? Yeah. And Therese Ferrer, known as, she were in Grey's Anatomy. She's the daughter of Debbie Boone, who was Pat Boone's daughter, who's one of the most popular singers of the 20th century, Pat Boone. I got called that a few times. Pat Boone.
Stupid Pat Boone.
suppose that either that or Egg and Spoon.
Egg and Spoon. But what makes it interesting is, right, if these people are related, why is it never mentioned that he's related to the guy at RoboCop?
You told me about this film, that one you just mentioned, and I looked at Drew Barrymore. And you should see Drew's Barrymore. She's got about 20 actors and actresses in her family.
I vaguely knew that she was from an acting family, but yeah, but the amount of them. But also, but why is it not mentioned?
They've got the right pedigree.
One of them is a lighting director. Yeah. The other one is insane.
That's what it's, in
that Huxley clip that you've played a few times now, he's basically saying a lighting or a production designer
is important.
That's important. Mm. Is it important? And even the people who make the costumes are important for theatre and films. Mm. Theatre was the before films, obviously, as a programming tool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If you think of those Romans when they'd have the stage players, that'd get people on side.
Well, Huxley's exact words were propaganda. He's a genius of theatre production or something like that. He said, why would he be a genius? Putting drawings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Pop up book basically behind the set, innit? Really, when you think about it.
I mean, it is clever,
a skill, very. Yeah.
But is that warranted in eugenics? Because he can make a nice suit for a play or a film.
Yeah.
It's not really eugenics world, is it?
No. But, it's all. And Clooney is, let me get this right now. His maternal great-great-great-great-grandmother, Mary Ann Sparrow, was a half-sister of Nancy Lincoln, mother of President Abraham Lincoln, making Clooney and President Lincoln half-cousins five times removed. Also, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, Joseph Hanks' great-grandfather of United States President Abraham Lincoln, was obviously part of the Hanks family. And so Hanks, Tom Hanks and Clooney are cousins.
That's what I mean. Why, in all their interviews, it just makes you realise, doesn't it, that 1 or 5% or whatever that run the show, it kind of bleeds down a bit further than you think from politicians.
Well, I was saying this to my wife. We were having his tea, and I was saying about all these relations that I've gone into detail about, and I'm
she's
skipping
to
over
really
it.
Quick, so she should leave the table.
She was moonwalking. No, she was looking. She said, "Who the hell is controlling all that, though?" Because I was telling you earlier, weren't I? That, and I'll skip over this. I know we're skipping onto something else, but Tom Hanks, right? He's related to so many people. It's like unreal. I mean, I do quite a lot of this, and sometimes you come across them and they relate to all these different people. It's untrue. It's related to more presidents than I've got time to mention, but obviously Lincoln, the Bushes, is related to them. Quite a few others, Gerald Ford, people like that. Actors, Steve McQueen, Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli, David Crosby from The Birds. Yeah. Crosby, Stills and Nash, J.P. Morgan, John D. Rockefeller, Anderson Cooper. But and English royalty from William the Conqueror all the way down to Charlemagne. Anyway, and generals and all, like George Patton, who was a knighted general, Sir George Patton.
Didn't he turn it down?
No, he's honorary knighthood. Right. No, I don't think. No, he didn't turn it.
He turned an Oscar down, didn't he?
But what?
No, I've got that totally wrong. Who is he turned an Oscar down for playing Patton? Dickhead. What's his name? George C. Scott, is it?
Yeah. But we mentioned about 3 years ago about his virtue signalling films.
Hmm.
But yeah. Listen to this, right? So he made Apollo 13, yeah? And he's related to, I think it's three, but two astronauts. And Wernher von Braun.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wernher von Braun's his 20th cousin, one time removed.
Apollo, that was a proper... I've never actually watched that film, but a proper selling the space story film.
Yeah. Shaving Ryan's privates, it gets even closer. There were two of his cousins in that film. Ted Danson and Paul Giamatti. And they were both in the same scene. Paul Giamatti were getting something out of his boot, knocked a piece of wood, he knocked the wall down. Ted Danson came up and machine gunned them Germans behind the wall.
Yeah.
How weird. All three of them were in the same scene. Did they know?
Oh, cousins?
Yeah. You mentioned Road to Perdition. William H. Macy were in it, weren't he? Can remember he played that guy in that room. Yeah. He's his cousin as well.
It's a small club and we're not in it. But like we've discovered as well, like we were on about the Crowlers and stuff, it's like that 5% or whatever percent it is that run the world.
But who chooses these people, Chris? Is it an energetic thing? Is it somebody behind the curtain saying, "Nah, right, we know these people, they're getting chosen for it"? Is it something, a power bigger than we can ever imagine, that's just bringing these people together because the dark side want them in front of the camera, if you like?
Bloodline, isn't it? I suppose they do what they're told.
Yeah, but I'm sure Spielberg ain't got a book thinking, right, I've got to pick a certain bloodline of a certain percentage of people within my films. You know, maybe he does, I don't know. But
well, I mean, you do have to ask yourself, if you think of English actors in America, you see the same people on rotation in all the films, really, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because have you ever thought how many struggling actors are out there? Why do they choose the same ones over and over and over again?
Surely for a part, you'd want somebody different. Yeah,
someone
so
fresh,
it's fresh.
And new.
Yeah.
But they choose the same, and they often choose the same actors to play the similar kind of character, similar kind of part as well.
Well, to trump those two, right? And I'm going to move away from Wanks in a minute, but Hanks played Fred Rogers in the film A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood. After filming, he found out he was his sixth cousin.
Right, didn't know.
Didn't know. I mean, that's in the Daily Mail. That's not, you know, it's not a that's, and it shows a picture of him being Fred Rogers. And I can't say I know Fred Rogers. It must have been a famous scene where he's holding a shoe up.
Right.
Right. And
Masonic shoe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. holding a shoe with a bright red cardigan.
Means something to someone, doesn't it? I would think. I don't know anything about that film. I've never seen it. Like the nicest guy in
something like that. Which
is what Tom Hanks always gets described, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But then he played Walt Disney in Saving Mr. Banks. And he's Walt Disney's cousin.
Right.
And Walt Disney shares a similar bloodline back to Edward III as Wernher von Braun.
I was telling Alan at work today about Wernher von Braun, weirdly bring it up, saying, "Did you know that, you know, NASA was started by Nazis?" He's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, it's pretty much not even a conspiracy." He said, because I went to the Science Museum last year.
It is according to Dom Jolly.
I went to the Science Museum last year. And
France doesn't exist.
There's a massive picture of Wernher von Braun in a Nazi outfit.
Yeah.
It's right there in the middle of the science thing, telling you who he is. Brought over by Operation Paperclip, etc. Anyway, which, yeah.
Did we talk about Dom Jolly last time? Yeah, we did. I'll probably do this presentation. I'd like to do it maybe live with Matt Sergio if we can get him to come on live on a live podcast on YouTube.
Hmm.
Because he's got some other information. Obviously, fire stuff over to him and he's got other stuff, but probably going for about 12 hours. Probably need to do about 3 podcasts. But yeah. Do you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is is his Hanks's 15th cousin as well. And I found that an interesting one, because I mentioned before that Cumberbatch, I looked into his background, and his father was called Timothy Carlton Kong Dong Cumberbatch. He's an actor. His granddad was Commander Henry Carlton Cumberbatch, submarine commander in the Royal Navy. His great-granddad was Alfred Cumberbatch, a diplomat, spy, in other words, as a counsel in Romania, Turkey, and Lebanon. His great-great-granddad was also a diplomat, spy, in the Ottoman Empire and Russia. And his great-great-great-great-granddad was a slave owner in Barbados.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. Makes
you
that
could have kind of guessed that with him, couldn't you, weirdly?
Yeah. And he's a good actor. He's quite a good actor, is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, in fact, they're all good actors. This is how they get you. They're all good actors, aren't they?
Yeah. But he played Alan Turing in the Bletchley Park thing. Yeah, yeah. And he's actually related to him. He's his 17th cousin. So what we're trying to say is two things came out of this podcast or this research that I've been doing recently. Is that, and like you said, I think on that podcast on Friday, that a lot of this stuff's come out of the Huxley stuff, which is strange anyway, because why would popular culture, as we know, and we know it would involve, be linked to the Huxleys, you know? But guess what, Chris? Aldous Huxley is a cousin of Tom Hanks.
This is what I'm saying, that percentage that run the world, it's bleeding. Well, it bleeds down into journalists and writers and everybody, doesn't it? Yeah. Anyone who's got any possibility of controlling the social world as it moves on,
yeah,
chances are they're one form of bloodline, aren't they? Whether they know it or not, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Alan Turing had a bad life, didn't he? Because he was gay, wasn't he?
He
was persecuted, apparently, but his family dispute that, say he was killed with cyanide,
right?
Which, again, he was in charge of a lot of secrets, wasn't he? Hmm. And being gay at that time, I'm sure he mixed in circles that probably weren't savoury as well.
Hmm.
But anyway. Yeah.
He also, who is it? Cumberbatch played, who is it as well, didn't he? Oh, what's his name? Assange.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he did. Did he?
I don't know. They made an
Assange film, didn't they?
I noticed on that film that you were talking to Dangerous Mind, Apple are on about doing a series.
Right, yeah. Keep it coming. Yeah, why were they so desperate to make that film? Like I said, what I mean is, and all them,
is it A Dangerous Mind? What's it called? Dangerous?
It's not a dangerous mind.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, yeah.
But what I found interesting, all those directors that were trying to make it for the last, before it got made in 2000, for 20 years,
yeah,
they were all those big player directors.
De Palma and all them people.
Sam Mendes, who did Road to Perdition. He directed Road to Perdition and James Bond, didn't
it? Well, it said on there, when I read it, when the link you sent me, that Clooney asked Soderberg and the Coen brothers, I think it was.
Well, because he's been in their films.
Yeah.
He said he was inspired by their filmmaking to make it. But then Clooney gets this like little trophy. Seems like a little trophy film to make, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just to get him on as a name as a director.
Well, I don't know. Is it because, he's got links back to CIA as well as Clooney, hasn't he?
What I mean is, though, why did they want this film to be made? It seemed like they wanted it to be made.
Yeah.
Just putting it out.
Clooney's wife represented Julian Assange.
Did she?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
If he is who he says he is, Julian Assange, that would be good, having somebody who operates for Foreign Office representing you, wouldn't it? And UN.
I don't know about anybody else. I struggle to.
I can't believe that story personally, but I think I remember Richard D. Hall doing a great thing on Assange, and he probably got very close to the wire there. That it was some sort of controlled release of which piss has been opened.
I bought the governor. No, I've never bought the Assange.
No, when you pour it in, I thought you meant to pour it in so you look after the flavour and stuff like that. You just tip it upside down. Like tipping some Kiara in.
Never bought the Assange story. And who's that other guy in America who was on about the...
I forgot. I always forget his name.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Made a film about him as well.
Him and went to Russia.
Yeah.
They put a statue up or something like that.
Yeah. As soon as they've made a film.
Didn't... Who went on? Not Dolly Parton, but Pam Randerson.
No, she went to see Assange, didn't she?
Oh, did she?
What was that about?
I don't know.
How weird.
Tipmatized him. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. Not those eyes. Not those eyes.
Well, he'd been locked up for about bloody 10 years. I'm surprised he didn't blow through through yeah. building walls.
But yeah, so all these people are into it just amazes me. The more you look into this, the more it gets me. Do you know Anx is also related to Anne Esch?
Anne Esch,
who blew up, basically.
Died and then climbed out of an ambulance.
Yeah.
That was creepy, wasn't it, that, a few years ago?
Yeah.
Did you see that footage when she got up out and they pushed
What was that out? About? That were like, it were a different ambulance, totally different thing, and they're just using that film as a setup. But weird, then they're all actresses out there. What is it? Are they on set of Hollywood or?
Were ambulance men in on it?
Was it an ambulance and ambulance men? Was it just an operation?
Or was it all just a TV show for us?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
About 6 months. Yeah. Never heard of it.
No.
It's funny, actually, because in Cambridge, where I live, there's a... They've got the tents up outside King's College, Palestine, against Palestine.
Right. Against Palestine.
Sorry,
or
no,
against
for
Israelis.
Israel for Palestine. Because apparently Cambridge College give money to or they help with Israel somehow. I don't know. I don't really know the details. But somehow they're involved.
Weird, isn't it, how there's loads of friends of Israel, but not friends of anywhere else.
But it's in it. What I was thinking about it, and I thought, and I know this might be really obvious, but I was thinking they camped out on the front of King's College. Now you can't tell me the cops can't remove. I'm not saying they should, whatever. I agree, disagree, but surely they can move them from there.
I seem to remember in 2020, an old lady was having a cup of coffee on a park bench.
Yeah.
Three coppers going, sprayed away pepper spray and handcuffed her.
People getting shit kicked out of being on a beach. But a lot of students can pitch tents up on the front lawn of King's College.
They're all the same colour probably and all, but from the same order. Amazon order.
Do you know all the tents are the same, actually?
That's what I said, yeah. All around the world, though. They're all the same colour. How does that work?
Someone got that contract, didn't they? But I remember they had that Just Off Oil one in Cambridge as well, and it was the same there. How did they get to... They blocked off an entire street, and the cops were there helping them block off the street.
Well, I think they should.
Anyway, my point is, you know...
You go lay down in the road tomorrow, Chris, right? Yeah. With your bike, hugging your bike, right? Yeah. Do you know what's going to happen?
I'm going to get run over or my head stoved in.
Yeah, or they're going to throw you in back of a Black Mariah and take you to a cell.
Yeah.
Put a stupid T-shirt on. Dye your hair pink.
Throw some paint off too much.
Dye them three strands pink. And
we do three different colours.
Yeah.
But
dye your hair pink. Put some bolt-ons on. Three double Ds. Double D bolt-on, like one of them vests, like that lawyer in America. just dropped. And lay in the road. You've sorted.
Yeah,
they won't touch you then. They won't touch you. They daren't.
But when you think about it, right, what is it all about? Why are they late? And it's just the classic divide and conquer, isn't it? Keep us squabbling. Oh, do you mean you're pro-part? Like the Black Lives Matter.
Well, the obvious thing
squabbling
is...
Squabbling over nothing.
The obvious, again...
Not nothing, but nothing you can control. Yeah. Nothing you can do. They will never have any impact on anything.
No, nothing. What were the other ones? Can you remember the one where they were doing it to... It was about 10 years ago, wherever they were camping out in like the banking areas.
Was it just funding the bank? Was it the 2009 crash?
Yeah, we're right around that time, weren't it?
Giving money to
that
the
worked,
bank,
didn't
yeah.
it?
Yes.
CND worked, didn't it? Yeah. C&D work. They just aimed a bloody microwave weapon at them.
Yeah.
No. That all worked. That stopped it. And I'm not saying boots on the ground don't help. Yeah. When you know it works, right, like in 2020 when there were about 2 million people in London and they didn't film it and just said when there were about five people and a dog, right, you know that's worked.
That's when it's worked, when it's on TV.
When there's 100,000 people or whatever outside BBC shouting at them, yeah, and it ain't even on BBC.
Shame on you, they're shouting.
Yeah, you know that's worked because it ain't even on BBC. A couple of people and his dog and a crisp packet were outside BBC offices today, blowing in the wind.
I bet these clowns are on the TV.
How many newsreaders were there? How many newsreaders went into BBC through them throngs of people, Mariana Spring and all these other people, Rat Boy,
going to work,
going to work, doing his panorama show, doing his, some dare call it conspiracy. How many people were going into work, right? And trying to get through 100,000 people or whatever that were there. And then it wasn't even reported. And they thought, how come this isn't on news? Why are they reporting this?
Revolution will not be televised.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think those things do make an impact.
Yeah.
If at the very least, it scares the shit out of them.
It does. I think the one thing that these bullies, and they are bullies, that's all they are, and they control people through fear. And every bully who controls people through fear. Imagine a bully at school. If 20 people said, fuck you, that bully's not going to be a bully anymore, is it?
No. Well, you know...
And it's a similar sort of principle, isn't it? You don't even have to fight. All you have to say is no. Let's try it on. Because when you jump on him, 19 of us are jumping on your back. How are you going to get out of that one? And he could have 25 black belts. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, my missus told me a story. She was getting bullied at school. And she's on built like a feather. And she went and told her dad. Her dad's a big Scottish guy, and he said, "Just go for the biggest one of them and hit him straight in the face." Right. So I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I went back to school next day, and they started bullying me. And Lou smacked the main one in the face." And I said, "What happened?" She said, "She threw her out classroom like a rag doll." but she also said she never bothered her again.
Yeah,
because you don't want fight back, do you?
If you no, you don't want somebody who's willing to fight back.
No. Don't matter how strong they are.
Hence why the amount of effort, time and money they're putting in to people like us, like Rise Above, like Richard Diol, like the people listening, they're putting in to shut us up.
Yeah. Because the name
don't
of the
want
call
people questioning it.
We're harmless. What are we doing? If everything you say is a fact, you shouldn't
just
be...
Just a joke. I like the funny conspiracy theories. Yeah. Funny ones. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing that did... I can't say it freaked me out, but because I've always used that version of Tom Wanks. I keep going on about Tom Wanks, but it's fresh in my mind, that's why. Running as Forrest Gump.
Mm.
Yeah. That ain't Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That's his brother, Jim Hanks.
Jim Wanks.
Jim Wanks.
Also, that's the bit where
you give him his posh name, James Wanks.
that's the bit where he wipes his face and you get a smiley face comes off, isn't it?
Yes, I've just put that on here. Yeah, and so that iconic moment where he wipes his face, he's got that shite with his beard, and he's got that shite smiley face, is actually Jim Hanks'
his brother. What does that mean, though?
I don't know. And he actually says, he said, "I had to play that part, right?" He said something like, "Tom's got," and something I read, "Tom's got other doubles." Right, interesting.
Hmm.
But I had to play that part because when he was running, it had to be a Hanks run. So, like me and you would have known it. Would talk.
Yeah, like we know what Tom Hanks.
If he's got other, but what about if his other doubles isn't a Hanks blink or a Hanks frown or something?
Maybe just getting his brother some paid work.
But do you know he also plays him? Do you know he plays Woody? Does a voiceover for Woody, steps in to do that as well.
His brother does?
Yeah. Yeah, Toy Story.
He's just a little bastard then, isn't
it? Yeah, and the talking toys. You know the talking toys?
Yeah.
He does the voices on the talking toys. Toys. Yeah, I know.
Like I said, maybe...
But that's the deception, isn't it? That's the deception, because people don't know. But it's out there to see people, you know, it's not that they're not trying to keep it a secret like they're not with any of this stuff.
Hmm. But then it's only those nut jobs that say things are weird. Most people are like, oh, differences in men don't matter, does it?
Well, it obviously does matter, otherwise, well, we know it matters.
It does when he's the first one to ever get the coronavirus.
Well, that again, I mean, if you go back to that time, I mean, I put a couple of them videos on there. Remember, the programming in that is off the scale, well, isn't it?
Like I said about system directors and, you know, system actors, Tom Hanks is, like you said, we did a rundown of the films he's been in.
Yeah.
All of them are selling you something. Apollo 13, Philadelphia selling you the AIDS bullshit.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan's privates, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
They're all selling some art. They're reselling the Second World War. They're reselling Apollo missions. They're reselling Philadelphia. I can't get my head around that Captain Phillips one, which is about Somalian pirates. What were they selling there?
I don't know.
Somalian, well, I suppose fear of Somalian pirates and getting raided on a ship, I suppose. But every film he's been in, selling something, I think. Or the majority, especially later on. Full-on propaganda films.
Yes. For 100%, full-on. I don't... All of his films are... have been propaganda films, haven't they? And that's why he were ruled out right at the beginning of 2020. Mm. One of the first stars, or whatever you want to call it, celebrities, came out and he's an actor.
He was the first one, yeah. And he, like I said, he's the one who's always described as, you know, the nicest guy in Hollywood. And he played Woody in Toy Story and all that stuff. So people trust him, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's gathered that trust over years and years. I mentioned when we were talking at Rise Above, guys, I've been thinking about this since I mentioned it as well. You know the 15-minute city thing?
Yeah.
I did mention it, didn't I, that around here, there's, and I think I live in one, they've built these estates. Nice, you know, the nice places to live. But what I realised is the 15-minute city, I think, is not what we've not going to work how we thought it did. Because my mates who came down, they stayed in a hotel in this place near here called Eddington. And I drove over there and they literally built an entire town. There's a hotel in the middle of it. There's cafes. You know, there's obviously openings for restaurants and stuff. But it reminded me of Star Trek. You know, when you see the newer Star Treks, and they're in that future world and everyone's just milling around. There's loads of space and stuff and loads of art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that. It was quite nice. It's quite nice, to be fair, quite bizarre. But then when you think, like we've discussed, town centres just degrading and closing down and getting boarded up, that's how they're going to do the 15-minute cities, because the town centre, as we know it, won't exist. And then you've just got these orbital towns around areas that are self-sufficient and survive on their own. That's the 15-minute city, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you looking at?
I've got this. I'm going to play this Tom Hanks video just to give us a bit of a breather. Right. What he did early on.
Right.
Well, this was one where he's telling everybody to wear a mask. Let's see if the other one's uploaded. That one uploaded, I think, is a bit longer.
Dr. Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Whether or not we like it, we're all in this together. We're all affected by this. So let's. At the very least, there's a lot of stuff you can do beyond that, but at the very least, three tiny things is in everybody's wheelhouse if you choose to do them. Wear a mask, wash your hands, social distance. If you can't do that, I don't have much respect for you. It's pretty easy to do your part. If you drive a car, you gotta use your turn signal, not drive too fast and avoid pedestrians. Those are three things that should be pretty easy to do. And COVID-19, if we social distance, wear a mask and wash our hands, we'll be able to get along. So let's do that.
It's really selling it, isn't it?
100%.
Weird, isn't it? When you think about it, what wash your hands, social distance. What the fuck was that about?
Well, when we know that these people are, I mean, Idris Elba were another one, weren't it? Mm. Remember that what he did, that one with his girlfriend behind him?
Yeah. That he was very early on. But who's to know? Maybe he just fell for it like anyone else. Fire took a test, thought he got this thing. And
Idris Elba.
Yeah. What I mean is, maybe a lot of, I'm not saying Tom Hanks there, because he's selling it. But maybe Idris Elba found out, and maybe he thought he was doing good, you know, by, but then I'm a wishful thinking, because quite like Idris Elba. You know.
Well, I like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I like, you know, Shaving Ryan's Privates were a good film. Yeah. It was a good film. They make good films. Yeah. The problem is, that's what they do, innit? Like you say, you're hearing Woody from Toy Story, or you don't realise that Ben Affleck's working with CIA when you're watching films that he makes, you know?
I've never seen that film he made, Argo. Where
no, I've never watched it.
I might
really watch him anymore.
I think could be asked, if fair.
No.
But in that, he's actually pretending to be a filmmaker, but he's actually CIA.
Mm.
So they can get into another country, I think, if I remember. Yeah.
I mean, and that one, and I know the other ones they have, was it Clear and Present Danger and all them others, but that one, definitely, they worked with that CIA liaison guy. I forget what his name was now. Mm. But
it's clever how then in them films, and like the Bourne Identity and stuff, they always portray the CIA and all these secret agencies as good, but there's usually an agent in it that's bad.
Rogue.
The core of the agency is always good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always fighting for freedom.
Yeah. But then there's some bad entity involved in the middle of it.
Don't know whose freedom, but some freedom anyway.
Same with Bond films, isn't it? There's always an entity within.
I have got to say, the people I talk to now at football are asking more questions. I've got to say that.
He's doing a slow moonwalk.
They're not even doing a moonwalk. They're actually asking. A lot of people, not everybody, but a lot more people are sort of asking questions. About they're seeing things. Obviously, they don't go, even not Dom Jolly, funny, Finland don't exist type conspiracy theories, but real core stuff. They're not grasping it yet, but they're asking questions. And I'm not even bringing it up.
Mm.
You can hear them talking.
Like I said to you, that Dom Jolly thing, when he goes from, you know, moon landing, da da da, and then Finland didn't exist, a conspiracy, no one's ever heard of it. We had messages as well saying that no one's ever heard of it.
No.
Why didn't he bring up 7/7 or the Manchester bombing? Or even 9/11 or anything other than Finland? Why is that your go-to conspiracy? That
was the first one he went to. That was his go-to, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was, what is it? I always forget, QAnon and that. Two ones that have never had an impact on me at all. One of them I've never even heard of.
No. Let's try and listen to this one before we go, that Hanks did. About he talks about his recovery, is it, from
we're so excited about this segment. We have Tom Hanks. He's going to be joining us live, and especially after what's been quite an eventful 2020 for him and his wife Rita. Before we catch up with Tom, here's a look at their experience with coronavirus and the months that followed. It was a tweet that shook the world. Back in March, Tom Hanks posted that he and wife Rita Wilson had been diagnosed with coronavirus while filming in Australia.
I have been the celebrity canary in the coal mine for the coronavirus.
The first high-profile celebrity couple to share what it was like to have COVID, an illness that was just beginning to take over the country. Their symptoms different, loss of taste and smell and fatigue. Writing on social media, we felt a bit tired, like we had colds and some body aches. Rita had some chills that came and went, slight fevers too.
I feel great. I'm back to normal. We are still practicing social distancing because we want to set a good example.
Even tackling the topic with humor on SNL in April.
Ever since being diagnosed, I have been more like America's dad than ever before since... No one wants to be around me very long, and I make people uncomfortable.
Hanks has consistently been outspoken about his corona journey, donating plasma to combat the virus, saying in an interview this week with The Guardian, there's really only three things everyone needs to do. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands. I don't understand how anyone can put their foot down and say, I don't have to do my part.
Here they come.
Now fully recovered, the beloved actor is talking about a different kind of battle. This time,
Australian officials put us in every morning, so feel bad for them.
The one thing you're right about is the little bar that they do have here. So I got to remember, Tom, I remember we were sitting in the studio the day that the news broke that you and Rita had coronavirus. And I got to tell you, we sort of all had kind of a mini heart attack. It was scary for us because that.
What a weird way to put that.
Yeah, mini heart attack.
This is my, what they call a micro strokes, whatever. This is 2020, this, you know, before jabs were rolled out.
Mini heart attacks.
I mean, I'm going to carry on playing that for a bit longer, but because he says something that's quite odd in that. But the whole thing there was, you know, well, we're laughing and joking, you know, do your part and do your bit. And
that right at the beginning, wasn't it? When, yeah. Before they,
But he's made the World War II stuff. You understand where I'm coming from? And that was, and he equated that in a certain part of one of the videos I saw to being part of the 2020 divot, doing your part, playing your part in the war, playing your part in this war.
Well, there was talk in England about the Blitz mentality, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah. Wonder what they talked about, how they talked about it in Germany. Invading Poland.
Dresden mentality.
We'll just play this for a bit longer.
That was in the very beginning when we didn't know all the things about the coronavirus. How, in that moment, were you and Rita, were you afraid?
No, we were not, because we were feeling extremely punky. I don't want to dismiss our symptoms. We felt rotten. I had body aches, crippling, cracking body aches. But what we were mostly concerned with was at the time, is what is next? The Australian officials put us in the hospital, and they kept very strict attention on our fevers, because if they had spiked, we were going to be in trouble. Our lungs, because if they had filled up or scarred, we were going to be in trouble. And the levels of our oxygen. That was what they were doing for us, but what were they doing for other people was making sure we weren't passing it along to anybody else. We had the coronavirus. We were giving it away to anybody that came within distance to us. And so we were we were in awfully good hands.
Right.
And we were very much aware of that we were maybe exploring some brand new territories about the personal as well as the public versions of having COVID-19.
Can't listen to any more of that.
How convenient, though, that he's like one of the first people anyone knew to get it.
With his Corona typewriter.
His Corona typewriter, yeah. Where did they get those American news readers from? They don't look human, do they?
No.
You know, when you see them, you look like a fucking Thundercat, didn't you? Do you know what I mean? Who? You just watch them and you just think, I've never seen a human being who looks like that.
No.
Really over enthusiastic as well, are they, American?
Yeah.
Readers.
Interesting. All right. We're coming up to the end of the hour. If you're going to join us in part two, we'll see you there. If you're not going to join us in part two, we'll see you next week. See you soon. Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
I will grow old, then I will die. I'll be a part of the oceans and skies. I was young before my